This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage and I'm Blaze. And today we're going to go back in time to 1994 to finish off our 1994 King of the Ring coverage. And for part two of that show, so far we've seen four tournament matches and the WWF World title match has already taken place. So all we got left is the second round in the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. We have a Rowdy Piper versus Jerry the King Lawler match, and we have a tag team title match up. I believe that's all we might have. If there's another surprise match, I'm not 100% sure, but that's what we got coming up for you on the King of the Ring show. But before we get to that, it's a new year, so it's a new crop of video games. So the last video game we have to cover for the year of 1994, we'll go ahead and get to it because we don't have any other wrestling pay-per-views to talk about currently right now anyhow. So we're going to go ahead and get to our last video game of the 1994 year. Video games are starting to really heat up. I can't wait. We're getting closer and closer to the games that we really, really got into growing up, you know? So I'm excited to do the video game part of our show. I hope you guys are excited to hear about the video game part of our show, because that was part of our love of wrestling growing up, was to play the video games that were attached to the shows and to the wrestling that we enjoyed watching on TV. And watching those wrestling games grow, I remember every year getting the new Nintendo Power magazine or the Game Informer magazine and thinking, oh my gosh, do you see these graphics on the next game? These guys look real! And then they just looked more real and more real. We were always wrong, but we thought they just looked amazing in the magazine. Now we can go on YouTube and watch the trailers to the games. It's just such a different world we live in now.
It is.
But anyhow, so the game we're going to go and cover is WCW The Main Event, released for the Nintendo Game Boy back in 1994. This was the second video game released by World Championship Wrestling and the first of two released to a handheld console. We watched some videos, and to be honest, I really kind of like the animation. The animation looks...
Some of it.
But I like they kind of have big heads and little bodies. They just kind of look like little cartoony versions of wrestlers. Each player has their own set moves. They each have a punch, clothesline, body slam, suplex, drop kick, cross body block. They have their own special moves also, their unique special moves. You have the wrestlers that are in this is Rick Rude, Ron Simmons, Stunning Steve Austin, Sting, Dustin Rhodes, Johnny B. Bad, Big Van Vader, and Rick and Scott Steiner. So I believe if I counted that right, that would be a total of nine wrestlers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, nine wrestlers. And of course, the Steiner brothers was in this game, even though they had already left for WWF. But apparently, it was too late. They couldn't get them removed from the game by the time the game released.
Same with the last one we
played. Probably same with the last one. But this article actually explains that a little bit more. There's two types of matches. You can do a set number of falls, which I thought was very unique. You can do best of a 1, 3, or 5 falls. Or you can set a time limit, 5, 10, or 15-minute time limits. So I thought that was kind of neat. You also can choose between a single match or an elimination match. The elimination match is basically a gauntlet going through every wrestler on the roster. You got to remember it's a Game Boy game. There's not a lot of options here. But for it being a Game Boy game, I really liked the way it looked. It didn't look like it played very bad. Once again, this is one of them games we had never played growing up. I'd love to hear your opinion on if you had played this game and if you had fond memories from playing this game. Blaze, I feel like there's something you want to say.
Yeah, a little bit. I know one person who probably did not have a lot of fun playing this game, and that was Ron Simmons playing his character on this game. Because I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. I believe they call it blackface, is exactly how Ron Simmons is portrayed in this Game Boy game. Like, you have Ron Simmons, and he's literally, like, they don't even try to make him look realistic. He's literally a walking caricature. He is pitch black, and very offensive.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising we've never heard anything about it, because it is literally just a black, like, pitch black character on the video game. There's no shading of any kind to make him look a little bit more
real.
Real. I mean, this is a Game Boy game, but it just looked off the way they created that character. It kind of looked like one of them old timey cartoons, you know, that people are banning today. You know, they should. I'm just saying, but that's what it looked like, was one of them cartoons that are all black and everything. Those character cartoons back in the, what would you say, the 40s, 30s, whenever that,
yeah,
when all that was going on.
I started watching the old, when I got HBO Max, I started watching the original Looney Tunes, like, even before they were Looney Tunes, they were Merry Melodies, and I was watching those, and, like, they skip episodes like crazy because of racism. They skipped episodes because a lot of their old episodes featured, like, these very black caricatures in them. Now, I had to look that up because they just don't explain it on HBO Max. They just straight up, I think the first season's like two or three episodes, because and there was like 16 episodes of that season, and all the other ones had been taken off for some kind of reason. And that's what we have going on here with Ron Simmons. Like, how did Ron Simmons feel when, like, did they ask him for his likeness? And the weird thing is, they had, like, a small picture of him in the right, well, I guess it would depend on where you played him, but in the video we watched, they had their pictures at the bottom. And luckily, the picture of Ron Simmons looks like, as Ron best Simmons. You can do as a pixelated version of Ron Simmons. But his character that you wrestle with, straight, it's racist. I mean, I don't even know how else to put it. Like, it's straight up a black caricature.
Yeah, they didn't do a great job here. And it's funny how society works, because things don't get highlighted until people mention it.
Well, I think this might be an issue of people don't know about this game.
Well, that's kind of where I'm saying is, like, right now, a lot of old stuff gets brought up because of streaming services. People want to watch old shows, and things get brought up because people rewatch them and they're like, wait a second, this is bad. So things get brought up and they get banned or they get edited or whatever. Obviously, right now, the WWE Network is going through that, where a lot of the old WWE segments are being edited or taken out completely, like the DX thing that they did with the Nation of Domination. Sean Waltman.
Did you find out whether they actually did take it out?
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. So yeah, the things like that got taken out. Rowdy Piper's WrestleMania match against Mr. T. I think it was Mr. T. It was Bad News Brown. Bad News Brown.
He did half blackface. I'm pretty sure we touched on that.
We watched it on WWE Network.
Yeah, we touched on that.
It is not on Peacock. They've removed that match on Peacock. So my point is that things like this don't get brought up until it's brought up in a broader light. And that's unfortunate, but that's the reality that we live in. There's no streaming video game service that's letting you play this old Game Boy game. So nobody's really throwing a fit about it. You know what I mean?
Let's face it. Even if we did have some kind of streaming video games service, I don't think this game is going to be put on that list.
No, probably not.
I never heard of this game before.
In a perfect world, we could get a streaming video games service with every old video game ever.
We should start a movement and bitch about this game.
But anyhow, my point is that until something would bring it to light, like maybe the popularity of our show would bring this
podcast
into light. Who knows? But the point is that's when change happens, is when it gets brought up in a bigger picture. And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like anybody back in 1994 was throwing a fit about this, I guess. It's hard to say. You might have to do some research and see if there was any kind of gripe.
I kind of would like to look to see if Ron Simmons had any opinions on this.
It'd be very interesting to find out if Ron Simmons has an opinion about it because, you know, and then I know it was on a Game Boy system, so the everything is a little different when you're playing on a Game Boy system, but I'm sure they could have done better than this.
Oh, God. I wish they would, because that was terrible.
Okay, so let's move on to the 1994 King of the Ring. Okay, so the first thing we get here is a Jerry the King Lawler interview, which is, he's always pretty entertaining on the mic. He had a few funny things to say. And then we move on to our first second round match in the King of the Ring tournament, Razor Ramon versus IRS. I just thought this match was there. It was okay. Nothing too exciting. Nothing bad. It was just there. So I'm giving it 2.5 Razor's Edges.
Yeah, I mean, the most exciting thing, other than obviously the Razor's Edge at the end of the match, was Razor Ramon grabs IRS's tie and like whips him.
Yeah, that was a fun spot,
which is kind of surprising. We don't see that more often with Razor or with IRS, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give this 2 tie whips.
Okay.
But yeah, this wasn't super.
Like I said, it wasn't bad. It was just short and it was just there. And sometimes that's just what they give us at this time.
Yeah, it just wasn't super great.
Yep. Okay, so the first thing we get before the next match is Bret the Hitman Hart going all over the locker room area. Or really the hallways. You don't really see the locker room. He's opening doors. Looking for Jim the Anvil Neidhart. He is pissed off. Even though he retains the title, it doesn't appear he's very happy on how he retained the title.
Yeah. He's not a very happy boy.
No.
It's a little mad.
Yeah, he gets pissy. You ever notice that?
A little pissy.
Bret Hart gets a little pissy.
A little pissy.
So anyhow, So then we finally get our next match. This is round two of the King of the Ring tournament. We get Owen Hart coming out, and the announcers are starting to question if 1-2-3 Kid will be able to compete. And just like every King of the Ring before it and any kind of tournament they've had in a pay-per-view, there always seems to be somebody that gets a bye. So this was the moment we've been waiting for, thinking that Owen Hart was going to get a bye, just like they do every pay-per-view. But to our surprise, 1-2-3 Kid comes out limping and actually competes. I was very shocked and very happy. And to be honest, this was a short match, but this was a great match.
Yeah,
it like, was, I mean, for it, what it was.
For a short match, it was pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty good.
There was a couple really good spots in that short period of time. The only gripe I really had about this match is a technicality in the rules. Owen Hart did a baseball slide drop kick to start the match and got 1-2-3 Kid before he even got into the ring, and then dove like over the top ropes and attacked 1-2-3 Kid, and the bell rang. The bell can't ring until both men are in the ring. So that was my understanding of the rules. Maybe the rules have evolved, or maybe they just were a little looser with the rules back then. But I Perhaps. Thought that was kind of a screw-up. And then there was also another spot where 1-2-3 Kid got the three-count counted. But Owen Hart's foot was on the ropes, and the referee realized it after he'd already counted the three and waved it off and said he didn't win. There was a couple little goofs in this match. But outside of the goofs, the match started exciting. There was a moment where 1-2-3 Kid looked like he was going to do a like a Frankensteiner, basically what Scott Steiner usually does, like a Frankensteiner and
a Hurricanrana is essentially
or Hurricanrana. That's the word I was looking for. But we've been watching these old podcasts, and they've been calling him Frankensteiner. So I lost my train of thought there.
I don't know if they have they called any of them.
I don't think they've ever called it a Hurricanrana.
They called it that back then.
But that's what you could tell. 1-2-3 Kid was attempting, and Owen Hart countered it into a vicious power bomb.
That power bomb was rough.
And then he put him into the submission hold and ended up winning
the sharpshooter.
The sharpshooter. Yes, he ended up putting him in the sharpshooter.
And one of the most famous submission moves of all time. Yeah.
Come on now. I mean, just so anyhow,
name a more iconic submission move than the sharpshooter.
The ankle lock.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a few iconic
the
ones.
The STFU.
Shut the fuck up.
figure four leg drop.
There's the Walls of Jericho. Lock. That's probably a pretty iconic one. The figure four leg drop. Or leg lock.
Lock.
Figure four. But, I mean, right? I feel like sharpshooter figure four and the Walls of Jericho are probably the most famous.
Dare I say the Crippler?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
We just did.
No, we didn't.
Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, I like the Yes Lock myself.
So, anyhow, this was an exciting match.
It was
fun. I'm going to have to give it four power bombs.
So, there was a...
This was an exciting match.
It was fun.
I'm going to have to give it... four power bombs.
So there was a moment where Rage was kind of shocked, like audibly shocked, because 1-2-3 Kid does a suplex into a pin, and it almost seems like he was going to get the 1-2-3, but Owen Hart puts his leg on the rope, and I feel like you made an audible gasp there because it was a close one. He got the 1-2-3, but then the ref noticed the rope, his leg on the rope. So, you know, there was some excitement in this match. That power bomb was devastating.
It was vicious. It was definitely vicious. That was if you're going to do a power bomb, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and he just it was painful looking. I'm going to give this a 1, 2, 3.5 near falls.
Oh. Okay.
Based on that suplex.
Yeah. I got it. Okay, before we move on to the next match, we have a service announcement from the Rage and Blade show. We would like to let all of you cool cats and kittens out there to know to not do drugs. Don't do drugs. It's not worth it. It is just, it'll ruin your life, change your perception of the world. Now, having said that, let's talk about this last interview segment by Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Fucking Carol Baskins. You know, we're like a year late on that one.
I don't care. It fit the segment. So anyhow.
That's not cool cats and kittens. That's not frogs.
No, I'm just trying to say that that was batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Carol Baskins is batshit crazy.
And so is that segment.
Wow. That segment literally looked like Rowdy Piper was asked, could you, hey, go do a promo, and he couldn't be bothered to do it, so he stayed in his locker room, and then the cameras came to him, and he's like, okay, you want a show? Here, I'll give you a show. And so he just said and did whatever he wanted while he was changing his clothes.
I think Rowdy Piper decided to take promo tips from Ultimate Warrior.
He was all over the place on that.
It was weird.
Although it was not as weird as the Ultimate Warriors.
Not as weird, but, you know, it's like he took little pieces here and there from an Ultimate Warrior promo.
He got sidetracked really easily while talking there, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you get a chance, King of the Ring, 1994, definitely go check out this Rowdy Piper promo. It is batshit crazy.
It's insane.
Like I said, this has been a public service announcement by the Rage and Blaze show. Don't do drugs. Let's move on to the
next
match.
It was entertaining, though. It was fun.
Oh, it was a good time.
It was a good time.
I just think there was other chemically balanced things involved in the help of that.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's go. Okay, so the next match is a tag team match for the WWF World Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. It is Yokozuna and Crush versus the Head Shrinkers, which are the new tag team champions. And this was a pretty good match. It wasn't... I don't think there was... It wasn't overly exciting, but it wasn't bad. There were some fun spots in this. Kind of ended with a little bit of an interference with Lex Luger coming out, and he's continuing his feud with Crush. Now,
oh, it's Crush? I thought he was coming out for Yokozuna.
No, he's coming out for Crush for the distraction. I don't know. I'd probably give this 3.5 striped singlets.
Yeah, Lex Luger's outfit was horrendous, I think is the correct term here. Horrendous.
Yeah, I don't know how you go backwards with your outfit. He had a pretty decent look.
Yeah, I mean, it was just pandering to the crowd is what it was. Just they're trying to make him the all-American hero.
But that wasn't even red, white, and blue.
No, I'm talking about his old outfit.
Yeah. But it looked like a good outfit.
It looked way better than that, whatever that was.
This looks like a generic wrestler coming out there.
It does. It doesn't
have any kind of star power into the outfit at all. It's like they have, at this point in his career, it's like the WWF and Vince McMahon has just given up on Lex Luger, and I don't get it.
They did.
Oh, obviously they did.
Well, I think we talked about it. Lex Luger's not that good. There's a reason why he wasn't They made a mistake making him a face. I think, number one, that was the mistake. He's not a good face. He was pretty good as the narcissist. I liked him as the narcissist. Using his power, being just very cocky. I thought he was good in that role. He's not good as a face.
Well, the match wasn't even with Lex Luger, so what did you think of the match?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a weird pairing. Like, why do you have the head shrinkers face Yokozuna versus Crush? Like, it was just a weird match. Like, I didn't understand why these two were facing off. Kind of a weird ending, I guess. I mean, I don't mind some distractions, but I don't know. It was just, I wasn't much of a fan. Okay. It was kind of a lackluster. I mean, it wasn't offensively bad or anything. It just was like, why is this happening? You know?
Okay.
I didn't understand it. I didn't care for it. I am going to give it 2.5. Man, that outfit is ugly.
That is the truth.
That had nothing to do with the match.
Had nothing to do with the match, but that's the only thing I can think of after the match was over is how god awful that.
Yeah, why are you wearing that?
It's like, why are you wearing that? That's,
man, you need to fire your agent. Whoever does your costuming needs to be fired on the spot. Like, why did you think that was what you wanted to wear to a pay-per-view?
Well, this is the first time we've seen him in a singlet like that, too. I mean, he's always had...
It wasn't the singlet that was the
issue. He's always had just trunks, and you know what I mean? So, yeah, just overall, this is just odd. All right, well, let's just move on from this. Okay, so the next match is the final match of the King of the Ring tournament. Razor Ramon versus Owen Hart. I'm a little surprised that this match is coming up now and is not the main event.
Which it should means, be the main event.
Which means the main event is going to be Jerry the King Lawler versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Don't get me wrong, I love Rowdy Roddy Piper, but this should be the main event at King of the Ring.
And if it wasn't, it's surprised that Diesel versus Bret Hart wasn't the main event.
Exactly.
So it's just very weird booking.
I think there's a reason for that one, though. I think that has a lot to do with they were wanting to tease the Jim the Anvil Neidhart thing. Like, he attacks, but they made it seem like, oh, he was just mad.
Right.
And caused the disqualification, but later on you find out, oh no, he went heel.
Yeah, so just a very odd booking decision, just the way they place these matches. Hopefully this Roddy Piper versus Jerry Lawler will be a good match. Just surprised it's the main event. Both guys are probably well out of their prime, but who knows, maybe to get Roddy Piper back, he had to be the main event. Who knows?
I mean, that's very possible. I suppose that it could be a contract thing. I mean, they haven't really given Rowdy the showcasing he deserves. Like, I feel like Rowdy never became the star that he should have been, because he was fantastic. Could be because he goes blackface here and there. That could have kept him down a little, maybe. I don't know, but...
Could have. Might have hurt his prospects.
Perhaps. But I don't feel like they cared back then.
So, what I'd have to say about this match is we've seen Owen Hart wrestle 3 matches in this show. We've also seen Razor Ramon wrestle in 3 matches. And this was probably, I would say, Owen Hart's worst of the 3. This match really wasn't that exciting, believe it or not. I expected a little bit more out of these two being top stars. Obviously, Razor had a worse match with IRS, but this was definitely Owen's worst. of the three matches, but
Owen's been very impressive.
Yeah, Owen has.
It's not so much that he was bad in this match as it is.
It just wasn't his as other impressive two as the other two. Yeah, yeah.
His other two.
He had
better.
A really, really good one with Tatanka, a short but really good one with 1-2-3 Kid, and unfortunately, maybe just after three matches, it's just hard to keep that up. But I just thought this was just lackluster in comparison. That's all I have to really say about this
Razor
match.
Did get a what looked like a bit of a rock bottom earlier.
Oh, yes. We forgot to mention that.
I didn't forget. I just mentioned it.
We did get to see the first ever that we have seen, anyhow, somebody doing what appeared to be the rock bottom, but they didn't. The announcers never really gave it a name.
Well, I don't think it would be called the Rock Bottom at this time.
Well, maybe that's where he got his name, based off the move. You never know.
No, he was named after his dad, Rocky Maivia.
I'm just saying, you never know. But anyhow, I would definitely, you know, that gives me a good idea. I'm going to give this three Rock Bottoms.
Three Rock Bottoms. I think I'm a little higher on this match than you. I thought it was decent. And where the other match, I thought the interference was a little odd with Lex Luger. This one, I liked the surprise heel turn. We got a legit heel turn in this match. Not from the two competitors, but
right.
From Jim the Anvil Neidhart when he comes up. He's the reason Owen Hart wins. He comes out. It looks like he's trying to pick Razor Ramon up. And then he clotheslines him, and then throws him in the ring.
Yeah, and Owen wins this on a flying elbow, which was a surprise. But I guess you can only do the sharpshooter so many times. I mean, you don't want to end every match the same way.
Right.
And you
right.
also don't want to have a top star like Razor Ramon tapping out.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this 3.5 anvils, because go Jim.
Yeah.
Go Jim.
So then he gets the coronation ceremony afterwards. You also get a little interview with Bret Hart saying he don't want to talk about it. He don't want to talk about the events that just happened. But Owen Hart declares himself not just the King of the Ring, but the King of Hearts. Very interesting. Very fun play on words there. But definitely a deserving King of the Ring winner. It appears that this is going to be a Hart family tradition, that King of the Ring is just going to be a Bret Hart
Jim,
and
Jim's going to win.
Yeah,
next.
Jim's going to win next year. Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So it's just going to stay in the Hart family, which is what royalty is supposed to be anyhow, is a bloodline. So it appears that's what we're getting here, is a bloodline.
Right, right. We got Owen Hart. He's yelling at the people there that saying, "I don't want you crowning me." He's like, "I want it from the only person in my family that I can trust." And he has Jim the Anvil Neidhart give him the robe, the scepter, the crown, because that's the only Hart family person he can trust is Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And, he was very sweaty, and he got that crown on him.
This is true. Okay, so that is going to do it for that. We are going to move on to our main event. And hopefully it's a good one. I'm excited to see Rowdy Piper back, but I'm a little shocked that this is the main event. But hopefully it proves us wrong.
It's partial shock for me and partial it's just wrong. It shouldn't be done. It should be the King of the Ring tournament finale. That should have been the finale.
I agree.
Not to mention give Owen a little bit more time of a break. Throw that match in there.
There's always that argument, too.
He was in there three freaking times. Give him a little bit of break and be the main event. I think a lot of this has to do with they just weren't comfortable making Owen the main event.
Maybe.
I think that's what it was.
Very possible. Okay. Okay, so before the main event, we get a video package showing some of the King's Court segments that we've been seeing on Monday Night Raw leading up to the King of the Ring, and showing some of Rowdy Piper's video clips of his video interviews he's been sending in. He hasn't been at WWF, but he's been sending in these video messages.
From Hollywood?
From Hollywood. He was working on a movie or something. I'd have to look to see what movie it was. But
Jerry the King Lawler likes to face people from Hollywood.
Hollywood. So anyhow, so after we get that, we get Jerry the King Lawler coming down, and then we get bagpipes playing. They all march to the ring with drums and bagpipes, and then, of course, Rowdy Piper comes out. And there was a segment on Monday Night Raw where Jerry Lawler brought out this really skinny kid, and he did a Rowdy Piper impression during this segment.
Not a bad impression.
Yeah, it was a pretty good impression. And then Rowdy Piper brought that same kid out with him to the ring to be at ringside with him because he felt that Jerry Lawler embarrassed this kid.
Well, didn't he beat him up, too?
I think so. I think he beat him up after the segment. Jerry Lawler beat the kid up.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So they come down to the ring, and the match itself was okay. Wasn't horrible. It was very old school wrestling. A lot of brawling more than actual wrestling match.
Yeah.
Moves being done. They definitely played on the kid being at ringside a lot. Matter of fact, towards the end of the match, Jerry Lawler had put his legs up on the ropes to get the 1-2-3 over Rowdy Piper. But before the ref counted the three, the kid actually pushed Lawler's feet off the rope so Piper could escape the pin, and then did a very awkward and slow roll up.
The roll up wasn't so much the
slow part. It was weird. It was the referee.
Well, the referee was like playing up an injury, I guess.
Yeah,
that he got knocked out during the match. So he went really slow with Lawler's pin, too. And then I love how they go really slow on the pin, and when the kid realizes that Piper's not going to kick out, like, he just waits patiently for these really slow counts and waits till the third, right before the third count, to knock Lawler's legs down.
Yeah, I almost thought it was going to be a screw-up. It happened. The three count happened almost bang bang. It was odd, but they did it. So I'd have to give this match probably three skinny Piper impersonations.
This is a very disappointing main event, in my opinion. Like, I was hoping that something bigger was going to happen, considering this was the main event and not the King of the Ring tournament final match, which should have been the main event. And this match really reinforced that fact that they should have been the main event. It should have been Owen and Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I completely agree. Even though that wasn't the best of matches either. It should have been the main event. And then after this match ends, we get a small little segment with Shawn Michaels and Diesel in the locker room, where Shawn's telling Diesel, "You'll get the title. You were so close."
Yeah, foreshadowing that that rivalry's not over.
Yeah, it was just kind of an odd situation because you literally are ending the show with these guys in the locker room talking. It's just kind of odd. So what did you score this?
I'm going to probably give this 2.5 Slowpoke Rodriguez the referees.
Okay, fair enough.
Because that's how that referee felt.
So we haven't mentioned this the whole show, but now that we're at the end of the show, I felt like I wanted to do exactly what Macho Man and Gorilla Monsoon did for the whole duration of the show. And we kind of ignored something in the podcast, kind of like they ignored. There was a third commentator in this show. He is a Hall of Fame football player from the Baltimore Colts, Art Donovan. And there was literally moments that the guy would say some weird off-the-wall stuff, and Macho Man and Gorilla Monsoon literally just ignored him and pretended like he didn't say a word. So I felt that was the best route of telling our viewers that there was a third commentator, was ignoring him the majority of the show.
I didn't know who he was.
No, I didn't know who he was either. He's way before our time of watching football, but he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
If he played on the Baltimore Colts, we've never seen the Baltimore Colts in our lifetime, so...
This is true. Well, he was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1968.
Yeah, that was 15 years before I was even born?
Right. So, we didn't know who the guy was. But he did not know wrestling at all. It showed. He was asking odd questions during the match. Macho Man was doing literally...
He was
making fun of the guy during it.
Hey, Macho, what is a... What's a body slam?
Yeah. It was kind of like that. It was very odd. The one time he asked, he's like... When... I think it was Owen Hart was in the ring, beating up on Razor Ramon with Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and he's like, "Hey, did you two act like that while you were in the ring?" And Macho Man and Gorilla just kept talking about what they wanted to talk about, and didn't even answer him.
They were probably like, "Vince, why the hell did you give this guy? We don't want to deal with him."
But this guy obviously did not know anything about the business. He was there because they were in Baltimore, and he was a football legend in the town.
Okay, I guess that's who you're appealing to, but...
You're appealing to the Baltimore fans, which in 1994, there wasn't a Baltimore team in 1994.
Nah.
The Browns hadn't moved there yet to become the Ravens.
That's correct. That was
the Colts had already moved to Indianapolis by that point. So yeah, it's just kind of an odd situation. But
get an Oriole.
But it did lead to some comedic things because Macho Man, when the guy would finally say something that made more sense, like during the main event, for example, he said, "I think Piper might be in trouble." Macho Man surprisingly looked at him and goes, "Yeah, Donovan, I think you're right. Ooh, yeah, he might be in trouble."
You're right.
It's like he pointed out when he finally said something of significance or at least of relevancy to what they were watching. What, but most of the time
when
he
actually
was just,
talked about a wrestling thing that happened.
But yeah, it was just an odd.
That's something pairing. You do at Raw. When you go to Baltimore, not at a pay-per-view.
I completely agree. It was, like I said, it was a complete...
Or maybe just for one match.
Yeah, it was, for the whole show, it was just awkward. But anyhow, that does it for our King of the Ring 1994 coverage, and let's go ahead and talk about our favorites, our worst, and I guess we should rank King of the Ring 1 and 2.
All right.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so my favorite match of the night is gonna have to go to the World Heavyweight Championship between Diesel versus Bret the Hitman Hart. I thought there was actually a lot of good, solid matches, but that was definitely probably the best of the show. If that 1-2-3 Kid and Owen Hart match would have lasted a little longer, I might have scored it a little higher, and I might have put that up at the top. But because of how short it was, I'm just going to have to stick with the World Heavyweight title match.
You know what? I'm probably going to go ahead and agree with you. I feel like some of the Owen Hart matches definitely had a chance, but I'm going to have to stick with... Isn't that Hart versus Tatanka, though? No, I'm going to stick with the Diesel versus Bret Hart. Had a lot of fun spots to it. Had good story to it. We got to see Diesel become more of a, you know, a main eventer. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
worst match of the night.
Okay, so worst match of the night, I kind of have it down to two matches. The IRS versus Mabel match, or the Razor Ramon versus IRS match, I both gave that a 2.5. I'm going to have to go with IRS versus Mabel.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm debating on the IRS. IRS versus Mabel is definitely my lowest. But King versus Piper was very disappointed, but I didn't exactly hate the match, so I'm not sure. I don't think it's deserving of worst match, even though I was very disappointed with it. But I think I'm going to agree with you with IRS versus Mabel. I think IRS versus Mabel was probably the worst match of the night.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so now that we've done two King of the Ring shows, we can go ahead and rank these. And I'm going to do something a little different we have never done before. And I'm going to rank the first show, King of the Ring, 1993, over the second King of the Ring, 1994. I don't think one was so much over the top better than the other. I'm kind of basing my decision off of the Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart match that we had that was an absolute classic. I thought the rest of the show was just, you know, that average good at times. There wasn't nothing horribly offensively bad. I mean, I just kind of felt that Last King of the Ring had a few better matches. But this was these were both on par with each other. But I'm just going to have to give the slight edge over to the first King of the Ring, 1993.
You know, I think I can kind of agree with that. Like, I was trying to debate it on mostly, I was kind of trying debating on doing it mostly by who won King of the Ring. And I do like that Owen Hart wins this King of the Ring. I thought that was really cool. But you're right, that Hart, right, that Perfect versus Shawn Michaels match was freaking fantastic. And I also like Bret Hart winning it. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. King of the Ring won 1993, better than 1994. 1-2.
Yep, sounds good to me. All right, so before we close out this show, we just went to an event the other day that we kind of like to talk about. We went to a movie premiere that was actually filmed in our local community. Yeah. We live in the area where we're close to the Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio, and they filmed a new movie there. It's called Escape from Death Block 13, and filming was done there at the Reformatory. Some filming was done in Galleon, Ohio, Crestline, Ohio, and Bucyrus, Ohio. So there was definitely a few different spots in our local area that there was some filming done in. And one of the cool, exciting things about this was we have some local wrestlers like The Nightmare Jimmy Lee, Izzy Lambert, Random Payne, Madman Fulton, who works for Impact Wrestling now. He used to work for WWE in the NXT. He was a part of the Sanity stable with Eric Fulton. Young, Sawyer Fulton in the WWE. So a bunch of these guys who wrestled here or still wrestle here, some of them still wrestle here locally. Some of these guys were in the movies. The movie is some of the prisoners. So it does have a wrestling, you know.
Oh, there was quite a few wrestlers.
Wrestling feel here. And then, of course, the big thing is that our stepdad, Tim Sulzgiver, he actually had himself a non-speaking role. He was one of the guards. And he got himself blown up in the movie.
He had an awesome death scene.
Awesome death scene. So that was exciting to see. But we went to the private screening for that because of Tim being in the movie. We were invited to the private screening to see that. And that was a really fun time. We got to meet some of these guys. Definitely Madman Fulton. We got his autograph and a picture taken with him. So this was really cool. And hopefully you guys check out Slammiversary. He definitely wanted to make sure we knew that Slammiversary was coming up here. And he definitely wanted us to check that out.
Possible insider knowledge. He also mentioned that he's become friends with Hurricane Helms.
Yeah.
And so, Hurricane Helms.
Who knows where that could lead. So we'll see what happens there. Anyhow, it was a really fun night getting to see a local movie filmed right here in our hometown. And seeing all them wrestlers involved was really cool. And seeing our stepdad involved was really awesome as well.
Yeah, I knew a couple of people in the movie.
Yeah, I found out one of the guys I work with at the factory, he was in it too. So that was kind of cool.
Guy that I met recently, he goes by House. I met him going out to karaoke with a friend of mine, and she's friends with him. And he was in the movie as the psycho doctor.
Oh, okay.
He was the psycho doctor, and he's also done work with Kevin Smith, who I absolutely love. He worked on Tusk and Yoga Hosers, so it's pretty cool.
Cool. That's awesome news to hear. But yeah, if you want, check that movie out. I don't know if there's an official release date yet, but it's supposed to be in theaters sometime around September. And it should be on streaming services in November. When we get more details on the dates and what streaming services and what theaters, we'll definitely keep you updated. But definitely check that movie out. It's, like I said, it supports wrestlers because there's a bunch of wrestlers in it. So that's a really cool thing to be involved with. Okay, so all we got left to do is plug the pluggables and end the show.
Yeah, and you can find me on Dragon Blazer Production on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, and the YouTube. And you can find me on Dragon Blazer Pro on the Twitter. And I must plead again. We like those 5 stars. Give us those 5 stars.
5.
Give us a rating, review, subscribe. Help this podcast get noticed.
Yeah, help it grow.
Get on that Apple podcast and, you know, just give us those 5 stars.
5 time. So you can find the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page on, of course, Facebook. You can find at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. So that's going to do it for our King of the Ring 1994 coverage. We will be back on our next episode to cover, I believe it would be SummerSlam 1994. So that should be a fun one. And this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners. And still, podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.